Blog Talk Radio.
This is the first time in our history that this ceremony has been held, as you've been told, on this west front of the Capitol. Standing here, one faces a magnificent vista opening up on this city's special beauty and history. At the end of this open mall are those shrines to the giants on whose shoulders we stand. Directly in front of me, a monument to a monumental man, George Washington, father of our country. A man of humility who came to greatness reluctantly. He led America out of revolutionary victory into infant nationhood. Off to one side, the stately memorial to Thomas Jefferson, a Declaration of Independence flames with his eloquence. And then beyond the reflecting pool, the dignified columns of the Lincoln Memorial. Whoever would understand in his heart the meaning of America will find it in the life of Abraham Lincoln. Beyond those moments, those monuments to heroism, is the Potomac River, and on the far shore, the sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David. They add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. Each one of those markers is a monument to the kind of hero I spoke of earlier. Their lives ended in places called Belleau Wood, the Argonne, Omaha Beach, Salerno, and halfway around the world on Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Porkchop Hill, the Chosin Reservoir, and in 100 rice paddies and jungles of a place called Vietnam. Under one such marker lies a young man, Martin Treptow, who left his job in a small-town barbershop in 1917 to go to France with the famed Rainbow Division. There on the Western Front, he was killed trying to carry a message between battalions under heavy artillery fire. We're told that on his body was found a diary. On the flyleaf, under the heading My Pledge, he had written these words: America must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure. I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone. The crisis we're facing today does not require of us the kind of sacrifice that Martin Treptow and so many thousands of others were called upon to make. It does require, however, our best effort and our willingness to believe in ourselves and to believe in our capacity to perform great deeds, to believe that together, with God's help, we can and will resolve the problems which now confront us. And after all, why shouldn't we believe that? We are Americans. God bless you and thank you. Thank you very much.
Welcome, listeners, to City on the Hill Radio Show. Thank you for tuning in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country and really in other parts of the world to come and join us so they can learn with us. And as you have just heard President Reagan in his speech, I can't help but feel that he was reading that pledge for himself. We know what a difference that one man has made for America. We need many more like him. And today we've got some of those that thinks this nation is worth fighting for. So I'm going to start off by starting off the way the founders did, within prayer. And if you don't mind, please join me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to pray without fear. Thank you for this nation, Lord, that you have formed to be a witness and a testimony for all mankind of your amazing grace, and that it is for every one of us. It is a gift. But, Lord, I pray that many who have not accepted that gift will in this Christmas season look at what they are missing. And Lord, we pray for our leaders. We pray for everyone in our community, Lord, that's trying to set the course of this nation back to the right way, Heavenly Father. We thank you for the inspiration you have given those that formed our Constitution. And Lord, I pray you'd bless this conversation, and may the listeners learn so much more, and may it embolden them to also fight for the nation. We thank you, Lord, and we ask that you order our speech. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Pastor Lee. I hear you're on, and I do not hear the other one. I'm going to go ahead and say hello to our other guest. If you don't mind, speak up. I'm not really sure who's going to be on with us today. It looks like we might have Finn Larson. Is that Mr. Finn?
Absolutely.
Or Michael Young?
This is Finn Larson. I'm glad to be with you today.
Well, glad to be with you, sir. We were hoping another Ohioan will be on with us. Maybe he'll join us later. And that was Michael Young with the People's Coalition for Ohio. PCCOH, I can't remember what all that stands for right now. But anyway, but we're so grateful, sir, that you have joined us. And I know that you're going to like our guest, the Patriot Pastor Garrett Lear. Patriot Pastor Garrett Lear has been with us for years, and he wants his nation back, Mr. Larson. You know, we've veered away from the foundation of this nation, and he wants to call us back. And he has been so pivotal with his hard work and perseverance and not giving up, even when the enemy has been knocking at his door. He has not given up, and now we see what's happening to New Hampshire. It is so exciting. And Pastor Lear, I don't know if you've met Mr. Finn Larson before. He is the executive. What would you call yourself?
Executive director
of the, I call it CEAI, I think, Christian Educators Association International, which is they support Christian teachers. They are a union with Christian values, so really for such a time as this. And so I'm so glad that both of you can be on the air and have a conversation to help the listeners. We know how important New Hampshire is. We know how important Ohio is, or at least I know because I've been hearing a lot about it. And we're hoping that the whole nation will pay attention to what's going on in these two places. And just before I came on the show, Pastor Lear, Mr. Larson, I stumbled on something. And it's awful how, you know, your feet that you don't think a lot of, you know, when you step on something wrong, that little something affects the whole body. Because I thought I almost broke my neck. And I think about these two states, you know, we are in our own world thinking of the big USA, but really each state is important to the union. And we're seeing what's going on with each state, and we really need to be prayerful for what's going on in the state of New Hampshire and Ohio. And if you don't mind, Pastor Lear, I'll let you start off, sir, and tell us what is going on, what you're concerned about in your New Hampshire.
Well, I will have no other king but King Jesus. And I want to start off by reading the 100th chapter of the book of Psalms. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. And I can tell you I'm so blessed to be able to read God's word. It's also a blessing to meet Mr. Finn Larson here on the program today. But I want to tell you I'm about mad enough to spit, because I have been watching and reviewing Mr. Barack Obama's Thanksgiving speech to the nation, and I have to tell you that it turned my stomach, being a Mayflower descendant and knowing what actually happened in Plymouth in 1621 at that Thanksgiving celebration of the worst Thanksgiving address of any president ever in the history of the United States. And I am totally disgusted to see this, not one mention of Scripture, not one mention of what really that Thanksgiving was about, not one mention of the holy name of God, not one mention. Start off by saying how lucky we are to live in America. I don't consider myself lucky to live in America. I consider myself blessed. And I didn't make myself. The Lord made me, and he certainly created this country. And I am just so saddened to think that this is the person at the helm of this great nation. And so we here in New Hampshire know that we have to protect ourselves from the over-intrusiveness of a federal government being led right now by a person that doesn't even know our history or seem to care about it. And at the end of his speech, he said thanks, and we should offer thanks to our soldiers and all of those that have served, but at the same time, our thanks is to Almighty God. He didn't do that. And I think here in New Hampshire, we've become so aware of what our position was, not only in the founding of this country. We were the first state to actually have a constitution. We were the first state to declare independence from Great Britain, and we're having to be a state right now to stand up to an over-intrusive federal government that doesn't seem to understand what our country is about, what this union's about. And I think about, for example, James Madison, what he wrote in Federalist Number 46, which was 1788, and is certainly true today. He said, "But ambitious encroachments of the federal government on the authority of the state governments would not excite the opposition of a single state or of a few states only. They would be signals of a general alarm. But what degree of madness could ever drive the federal government to such an extremity?" Well, that's the question we'd have to ask today. I guess James Madison, in a sense, was a prophet. Not only was he our president, but he was a prophet in saying the day would come. And I mean, he found it almost unconscionable to think that that day would come, but it has come. And I don't know if Mr. Larson has ever seen it, but in our New Hampshire Constitution, we have Article 10, which is very provocative, to say the least, because the title of it that's put in encapsulation there is The Right of Revolution. And it tells what government is supposed to be. And this certainly comports with our 10th Amendment in the Federal Constitution and the Bill of Rights. The government being instituted for the common benefit, protection, and security of the whole community, and not for the private interest or emolument of any one man, family, or class of men. Therefore, whenever the ends of government are perverted, and public liberty manifestly endangered, and all other means of redress are ineffectual, the people may, and of a right, ought to reform the old or establish a new government. The government of non-resistance against arbitrary power and oppression is absurd, slavish, and destructive of the good and happiness of mankind. This is what our founding fathers believed. This is what they were up against, and if you'll pardon the expression, it's sort of deja vu all over again. So we here in little New Hampshire, being that we are the first primary state in the nation, get a lot of attention. And, of course, how that's worked for people like myself. You know, I travel the whole country. I don't just work here in New Hampshire. I reside here in New Hampshire, and much of our ministry work is here. But I've just recently come back from Washington State, where I was at the Capitol also in Olympia. I came back from Nevada in late November, or actually came back in early November, I meant to say. And I was there in Carson City at the Capitol there, and I'm seeing across the country that a lot of people don't understand how this country was founded. Well, we're reminding people in New Hampshire of what the foundation of this country is and who it is. And, of course, we are reminding, and we have quite a lot of people that are in our legislature and that are Christians, that have been elected and sent there to do the work that a Christian should be doing. You know, if you believe, for example, what Noah Webster said, that God commands you to choose for yourselves just men who rule in the fear of God, which, incidentally, that's scripture from 2 Samuel chapter 23, isn't it? If the citizens neglect their duty and place unprincipled men in office, the government will soon be corrupted. Mm-hmm. And so electing unprincipled people who don't fear God is a grave error and sin. But we look at
thank
it here
for,
in New Hampshire that...
Sorry, Pastor Lear. I was just thinking about, you know, thank you for reminding us that, and you always do that, and that's why it's so important to hear messages from you and have you on. And it's a sad thing that, you know, there's not enough in the news for that admonition, but I think I heard something in the news, though, Mr. Finn Larson, that CEAI has partnered with Liberty. Is it not Liberty University? Who am I thinking of?
Liberty Council.
Liberty Council. And if you don't mind, share with that, because I think, you know, that really is going to help support people to make a stand.
Yeah, I mean, one of the projects we're working on them, and it seems silly that we should even be having to do this in America. But one of the things that we're finding, because of the kind of secular proclamations that our president is making, that there are many in our public schools that are even afraid to utter phrases like Merry Christmas. We had to actually deal with a school one year that banned their teachers from wearing red and green, believing that that might be taken as a religious expression during the month of December. And so we are working with Liberty Council and letting schools know if they will just do what's right as Christmas approaches and not hide in the closet for this celebration. If they are sued or anyone comes after them, Liberty Council will defend them absolutely free. Because what's happening, quite frankly, in our school culture is that very often school officials and educators are just cowering to the deceptive objection of non-believers and are just afraid even to celebrate Christmas. And you can go to any secular store that's out there promoting sales, if you will, that they're not afraid to mention Christmas, hoping that you'll make a purchase. We that are followers of Jesus should be celebrating that openly. And what an opportunity. Here's a holiday that is celebrated across the country, and we should be trumpeting that. Even though there's certainly some secularization of Christmas, it's still, for many, is a celebration that our Father sent his Son to earth, and we ought to be proclaiming that openly. And so we're partnering with them. We're letting our teachers know. Most of our members at Christian Educators Association are teachers in the public school, and we're letting them know that if their districts are being threatened in any way by organizations like the ACLU or other organizations, that we can hook them up with free legal defense. And if they find that their districts are banning any celebration or even mention that religious liberty gives us, then we would also provide them defense and support. And I just think it's time, and I'm hearing the tone of this program going in that direction, that we need to stand up. I'm astounded as we go all the way back to the Declaration of Independence up until today. It's been clear that we were built on a biblical foundation. Our forefathers set together a government and a country under the covering of the First Amendment that allows religious expression, and somehow it seems like the body of Christ has stepped back and rather than stepping forward and say, hey, this is our country, let's celebrate the religious freedom we have rather than hide in the closet. Every other case or every other agenda seems to have come out of the closet and have taken over our public domain, and hey, Christians are still part of the public. If we have a public school, that's ours. We need to take it back.
Well, Pastor Lear,
I
know you're excited about that. Go ahead.
Of course I am. I've been standing up for years and reminding people, first of all, it's not a public school, it's a government school. And it has an agenda that is not ours. And, of course, I don't look for my religious freedom. I look for my Christian freedom. I am a Christian, so I speak on behalf of Christ, and – and our forefathers who founded this country, and going through the thousands of pages of documentation. I think when Justice Brewer had his associates in the Supreme Court in the Trinity versus United States case in 1898, he sent them out to examine documents. They examined 5,000 documents, and he made this declaration: America is most decidedly a Christian nation. He didn't even say it's a religious nation. He said a Christian nation. So why should any Christian in America be ashamed to be a Christian or hold back their public proclamation of their faith in Christ because they're afraid of being offensive to the lost? Well, we don't want to offend the lost, but I try to remind Americans, especially our American Christians, that you need to be concerned about offending the majesty of heaven. In fact, when Samuel Adams first signed the Declaration of American Independence, he said, "We have this day restored to us the sovereign which all men owe due obedience. And from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, his throne is forever." And so the courage that we are needing, and I suppose it's because for a couple of generations, and I like very much the work that Liberty Counsel and Matt Staver have done and so forth in protecting people, because it has become a situation in America where we have to be able to say, you know what, I'm going to stand up for Christ. I've stood in front of, when I was in Nevada, I went out in front of an abortion mill at 7:30 in the morning and stood there. People saying, we're going to arrest you, we're going to do this and that, and proclaiming Christ, asking to pray with people and so forth and so on. Well, you have to come to the point of saying, we don't want you to sue us, we don't want to go to court, but if that's your choice and that's what you want to do, we're not going to stop talking about what this country is about. And so these documents that we look to, and I think of the real problem in America is not so much what people don't know, but rather what they're sure that they know that just ain't so. And I didn't say that. That was Will Rogers. I'm quoting him. But it's so true, because most people are convinced, oh, it's wrong. You can't bring your Christianity in here. You can't speak like that here. That's not acceptable. When I went to elementary school in Lexington, Massachusetts, we used to start the day with the Lord's Prayer, the Pledge of Allegiance, and then every school year we were handed a ruler, a 12-inch ruler, that had scripture from the Sermon on the Mount. It was called the Golden Rule. Now, why was that constitutional then and unconstitutional now? Well, the truth of the matter is there are a lot of people that don't know what they're talking about. And so we have to continue to press these and encourage people. And it's so good to know that if somebody is going to be sued, which could happen, and I tell people, don't be afraid of that, because we need the public forum. We can't expect that the news media is going to give us a forum. We're having a forum in courtrooms and schoolrooms and in every possible venue that we can bring Christ and speak of him. And I like what Finn Larson is saying here concerning Christmas. The issue in America, we celebrate Christmas. Excuse me.
Right.
This isn't Iraq. This is not Iran. I mean, I got news that Bibles that we bought and sent to Afghanistan, to our troops in Afghanistan, were destroyed by our own government so that we wouldn't offend any Afghans who are Muslims. I'm not trying to offend anybody with the gospel. I'm trying to preach the gospel and be faithful to the Lord so that people will come to know Christ as their Savior and be saved. I'm not trying to offend anybody, and I'm not trying not to be nice. At the same time, you know, we get the finger pointed to us by the law saying, you've got to be nice, you've got to be nice, you've got to be quiet. You can't get out there in the public forum. I take people in front of the State House in New Hampshire here on Main Street in Concord, and I point up to the capstone of a building next to the State House, and I said, look at that. Those letters that are carved in granite are 6 feet tall. Must have cost a lot of money in those days, in 1887, to carve those letters that say A.D. That doesn't mean in the year of Muhammad. Doesn't mean in the year of Buddha or Confucius. It means Anno Domini, the Latin word for in the year of our Lord, Jesus Christ. And so if Christians would do a little more studying, if our Christians here in America, our brethren in Christ, would do a little bit more studying about our history, and I think the Lord would give them the kind of courage and the boldness, and we're seeing that happen. And, of course, it takes one standing up. When one stands up, he stiffens other men's spines. Or, you know, you, what you've been doing all these years, Miss Diana, you know, I've always admired that, to say here's the wife of a truck driver, a little woman who probably doesn't weigh 100 pounds soaking wet, goes out there, is bold for the Lord, starts a radio program, sponsors events and so forth and so on. Well, just think about that, the grassroots movement saying, you know what, I've had enough. I'm not going to sit by.
And Pastor Lear, it's all because of, you know, a grateful heart, because this is an incredible nation with incredible privileges and freedom. And for us not to shout it on the rooftop and say, you know, I'm going to honor, you know, the foundation. We have to, or else this will be not a nation worth having. And we want her back. We want her back strong. And it's so exciting. Oh, Mr. Finn, I'm just so excited because you're going to empower the teachers that love to teach our children but whose hands have been tied. And so this right there, I know, will stiffen up their spine. They're hearing what's going on in the schools. And unfortunately, many of them are being forced to, or will be soon enough, forced to teach things that should not be taught our children. So this is a start. And Pastor Lear, you know, when I hear people say that they can fix the nation kind of without God, I'm thinking to myself,
done.
What planet are they living on?
Well, they're on the planet of socialism, communism, Marxism, collectivism, and all the other things that they have been. I mean, the Thanksgiving speech that Barack Obama delivered to this country, delivered to the world, is exactly that. We can fix this if we get together in community, you know, which is straight out of the Acorn book. If we get together in community, we can fix anything. The truth of the matter is, the only reason that America is even a country, and, you know, you think about, for example, as we approach Christmas, think about the Battle of Trenton that happened Christmas Eve. Before the Battle of Trenton, nobody in the world thought that the Continental Army, under the leadership of George Washington and these colonies, was going to defeat the most powerful nation on earth, which was the British. The Dutch were watching, the Spanish, the French were watching, and said, you know, it really would be great to give the British a black eye, wouldn't it? But we're not going to get into this and get in trouble with the British. We've already had enough. So we're not going to back these Continental soldiers under George Washington. But in a moment of brilliance that only the Lord God Almighty could have given him, to attack the Hessians in Trenton on Christmas Eve while it was snowing, while the Hessians were in a drunken bacchanal, supposedly celebrating Christmas, thinking, hey, we're safe here. They had just been resupplied with food, medicine, clothes, armaments, ammunition, everything that the Continental troops didn't have. And we won. And after that, all three of those other countries, the Dutch, the French, and the Spanish, entered in with money, with arms, with troops to help us, saying, you know what? Looks like you guys can win. This is the providential history of America. You know, we had a president from New Hampshire. Little New Hampshire once had a president, Franklin Pierce. When he was inaugurated on March 4th, 1853, he said, it must be felt that there is no national security but in the nation's humble, acknowledged dependence upon God and his overruling providence. That hasn't changed. All the problems that we're facing right now are inconsequential at God's throne of grace. He's got the answers. We've got the problems. And so we'll keep the problems until we ask him for the answers. And so I'm just, anybody that sides with anyone who thinks that we people can figure it all out for ourselves without humble, like the President Pierce said, humbly acknowledging our dependence upon God. I have to do that and want to do that and do that every day of my life. I wake up and the first thing I say is, Lord, I don't know what's out ahead of me, but I know that I need you, that I come boldly before your throne of grace, as Hebrews 4:16 says, in my time of need, and the Lord helps me. I mean, like you said, people come knocking at the door and all kind of troubles. I mean, when everyone it says, well, you seem so happy and joyful in the Lord, you must not have any troubles. I said, what? That's ridiculous. Of course I have troubles. But I take them to the Lord. And see, as a nation, we need to do that too. What was George Washington's Thanksgiving address? That all nations must acknowledge the providence of God. And I'm just summarizing that. It's one of the most wonderful speeches ever given or anything that's been written. And it's the same now
and
then.
And Pastor Lear, you know, that the acknowledgement of that hand of God, I think sometimes that we have gotten so intellectual, so modernized that, you know, we have not looked at the past to see that where we came from. And to I look at California, we have seen man's attempt at fixing this good nation. We see it in California. We have a friend, Dawn Wildman, with Tea Party Patriots, and that's what she says to us. You know, they are the petri dish of every liberal failed policy. And I'm just wondering, Mr. Finn Larson, I thank God that you're standing strong and that you're going to make our teachers that affect the children, the future generation, you're going to make them strong and bold, you know, to make a stand for their freedoms in Ohio. But if you don't mind, share with us, what are some of the concerns that we need to be praying along with you in regarding to what is coming up in Ohio and in the next election?
Yeah, I can tell you that we're hearing continually from our teachers here in Ohio the concern that they have with seeing the control of what's being done in the classroom being taken away from them, that local control about what's being taught being taken away from them and being engineered nationally. I have invested a lot of energy encouraging teachers that when they close that classroom door, they need to use their freedoms and their academic freedoms to teach in a style that they know works and pouring knowledge and insight into children. But they're getting a lot of pressure to teach to the test. Right now, they are the state-developed tests under No Child Left Behind. They're in the process of converting to the national norms that will bring with them textbooks and will bring with them testing that will measure the success of their school district and the success of that classroom. And the pressure is just enormous to take whatever that test, whatever its test questions are going to be on those tests, and just to teach those and forget the higher level thinking skills and the problem solving skills and the communication skills that successful citizens need, but rather just to focus on some minimum standards so that a district can brag about test scores, and education and teaching is an art and one that's been developed over many years, and there many of our teachers in Ohio are really frustrated that they feel that they're basically being sold out to these common cores that are being developed nationally, and they're going to be stuck with them. And there's a lot of frustration. They feel that their students will be cheated if they indeed are forced just to teach minimum core standards like this rather than the full spectrum of learning and knowledge.
Well, we're so grateful here in Alabama, Mr. Larson, that our tea parties have really taken that on as a very important issue to the point that the governor sided with them. But unfortunately, in the last in the vote that was just recently held about 2 weeks ago, the state board, the majority, went against that. They wanted the Common Core. We do not understand it because common sense is not in there. You know, for one thing, Alabama has no money. And we've seen the email, $300 million, $800 million article on Washington and California. Those two states, they're going to cost fortunes. And the sad thing even with California's attempt, they're not going to get it. They failed in their application process, which is really a good thing for them. But poor Washington State. But I think they're going to get out of it because they don't have the money. But we've also heard from Pastor Kerry Gordon of Iowa. That is a very important issue to him. He is seeing what it's doing to his dear state of Iowa. And, you know, it's like it's there, it's being forced. But, Pastor Leo, how about New Hampshire? Are you hearing any of the presidential candidates? I was hoping that Michelle Bachmann would really have a rally of defund Common Core standards is what we were hoping we'd hear from somebody. What are your thoughts on their take on the education?
Well, it doesn't appear that they're really addressing, and I've met, as you well know, and have actually spoken at many of the events where we've hosted here in New Hampshire and other places too, these different candidates, and not many of them are really addressing any of these kind of things. I mean, one of the things that should be a battle cry for all of them is defund the National Department of Education. And stop trying to impose things from Washington. And this is happening all over the country. There is no state that's immune from it. And, of course, the issue, like what you said, Alabama doesn't have any money or Washington doesn't have any money, that's part of the problem right there. We're finding here in New Hampshire that the feds come in and say, well, you know, you're going to have to take the money. We had one of our state senators say, well, we can't reject Obamacare. If we do, they're just going to come, going to send it to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court's going to send the military and jam it down our throats. We were sitting there at this hearing, and I couldn't believe he was saying that. Well, okay, if that's what it is, then this is what I've got to say. Molin lave, bring it on, you know, because on the grassroots level, it's kind of interesting. You know, I know there are many things that have happened with the Tea Party that are objectionable, and I preach at lots of them. And by the way, I preach at lots of them. I don't go there just as a historian or looking like a historical figure or anything. I go and I preach the gospel. That's my arrangement. If they don't want it, get somebody else. And I open the Bible and go with that. And I want to tell you that when I see the Don't Tread on Me signs, the Gadsden flag, which incidentally was one of our first naval flags, Don't Tread on Me. That's the kind of chutzpah, that's the kind of guts and kind of strength and courage that our grassroots movement, how about our parents in the schools? Saying, you know, I remember years ago when we had our children in the government school and they said, you know, we're going to have Halloween. And I went in and said, Halloween is not appropriate. We want a harvest party. Well, we were able to affect that. And they said, there won't be anything about Christmas in the school. I said, what? You mean I can't come in and read to the classes the Christmas story? We pushed the envelope because we said, look, we're paying for this school. Remember? These are our children. Remember? Now, you'll be told nobody else thinks like that. And you'll be told, well, no, you can't do that. We won't allow it. Well, don't take no for an answer, you know, especially for us here in New Hampshire. We native New Englanders are descended, many of us, from the people of the Mayflower, of which half of them froze to death. Two of my ancestors that came over in the Mayflower, the four that came over, two of them froze to death in their bed the first winter. That's the kind of DNA that I have. That's the kind of DNA that a lot of Americans have. They say, wait a minute, these children don't belong to the federal government. They don't belong to the state government. They're ours. The Lord gave them to us. And he's also told us in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. That's not what we're getting. You know, here in New Hampshire, they've changed. We used to have A, B, C, D, and F grading. Well, they don't have that anymore. There's nothing below a C, and a C is considered, and I should have probably written this down because it just is so bizarre. It's like, okay, this work is acceptable, and anything less than that is less than acceptable, and they don't grade it as a D or an F or any of that kind of stuff. And so what you see going on here is meaningless pursuit that our parents are, the parents of these children are paying for, and they're not getting to know the things that Noah Webster, who's considered the father of American education, said that children should be schooled in things of the Lord. Think about, and also in the history of their country. Think about a couple of the very best universities in our country. How about Harvard, founded in Christi Glorium, as the founders believed. All knowledge without Christ was vain. In 1692, the motto of Harvard was Veritas Christo Ecclesia, truth for Christ in the church. That's what we had in the founding. Well, that's the same thing we need now, and we need it on the local level. And so what I'm encouraging parents to do, you go to your school board meetings. Try to get on the school board. Get elected to the school board. Go there to the state meetings and go to the hearings and so forth and voice what you believe and stand your ground. Because let me tell you, some of these people that are in the legislature, they're starting to respond when people come up and they stand their ground. That's what we need to do.
And I'll just affirm that also. I was a school superintendent up here in Ohio, and once I got the majority of Christians on the board, and they saw what was the pressure I was under because I had groups against me that just wanted to sanitize our school, and I got the majority of Christians on the board. It was a phenomenal change. It unbound my hands. It gave a confidence to the teachers in the classroom that they wouldn't be ridden out on a rail if they taught the truth. I mean, it's just amazing. And our forefathers had no second thoughts about being open and honest about their faith in the Lord and the power it can have and the impact it can have, and somehow over the years that has just diminished. And I was recently at a meeting in Washington where I sat with religious leaders of all streams, if you will, streams that I don't even think should be cliques, but that's beside the point. What I heard, we were talking about accommodations, religious accommodations in our school, and unfortunately most of the people that spoke about Muslim accommodations, because many of them are demanding the schools accommodate their religious misbeliefs, if you will, but clearly their beliefs, and the schools are doing it just like they would if Christian families and Christian students stood up and said, whoa, just a minute, this violates my religious conviction, that they would have to accommodate that also, and somehow I sense that in many districts, Christians have fallen asleep, and they need to stand up so that we can regain the power and authority we had in this nation. I mean, the power and authority lies with the Lord, and we are His ambassadors, we're His soldiers, and we need to take that role back. Again, it's ours. And we have the right under our Constitution to express those religious Christian convictions. We just need to do it.
Well,
Mr. Finn Larson, would you mind giving that phone number for teachers or anybody that wants to contact Liberty Council? Are you giving their number out or?
Actually giving our number out. Let me give you, it's a toll-free number, and what we're doing is we're collecting the names, and then we will make contact directly with Liberty Council. Our toll-free number is 888-798-1124. That's 888-798-1124. And if you have any religious issue or violation that you have and you're really concerned about it, let us know. In fact, you can go to our website at ceai.org, at ceai.org. Go to the legal section under resources, and there you can actually ask a Liberty Council attorney right online via email. You just type in the question, submit the question, goes right to a Liberty Council attorney, and they will get back to you free of charge via email. And if they need to talk to you or represent you, again, pro bono at no charge to fight with religious liberty issues, they will do that. One of the things we're finding that I think is interesting, very rarely do public school religious liberties have to go to court. Sometimes they do. But it just takes someone to stand up and say, hey, this isn't right. We can't do this. And in most of the cases that we work with Liberty Council, they send a letter to the school district and say, cease and desist. this particular behavior or we'll see you in federal court. And these administrators will take it to their board attorneys and they'll say, yes, you can't do that. And then they change. If it needs to go to court, it can. But usually it's just a matter of setting them straight, because somehow there is this mentality that our forefathers put something in the Constitution called separation of church and state, which means religion, Christianity, should have nothing to do with the government or with anything in the public. And it was just the opposite. First of all, that phrase isn't even used in the Constitution, but basically the separation was that the government should not inhibit the expression of religion. Districts are set straight, very rarely do they even have to go farther than that. Just a simple letter. But if we don't speak up and get some of those letters sent, and we don't demand the rights that are ours, I believe we'll ultimately lose them.
Well, Mr. Larson, I'm excited. Oh, I'm sorry, Pastor Lear. Let me go ahead and say hello. I think that maybe Mr. Young is on with us. Is that you, Mr. Young?
Hello, is that me?
Yes. Hi there, Mr. Young. How are you?
I don't know. I'm not Mr. Young, if you're hearing me.
Oh, I'm sorry. We have a guest, Mr. Young. Do you have a question or a comment, sir, for any of our guests? We have Mr. Finn Larson with us and the Patriot Pastor Lear. Would you like to mention something to them or ask them a question?
I'm spirit-driven to things. My name is I'm going to give my full name. I've given it before so you can look at things on the Internet. It's Hugh, H-U-G-H. The last name is Traulsen, T like Tom, R-A-U-L-S-E-N as in Nancy. And there's various things on the Internet, including a blog, which is apropos for this holiday period. It has a poem on it in the President Ronald Reagan Library. And December 19th, he proclaimed back in 1983, National Care and Share Day. Excuse me, I have a poem in his library titled Caring Sharing, which is a very powerful little poem discussed on the blog. If you Google the word creativity777.com. I don't know if you have guests from New Hampshire. It's always been a second home to me. There's some things that you can pick up from New Hampshire once you Google my name. And on this blog also is a letter from President Obama to me dated July 7th, 2009, related to the economy. I responded to his letter and followed up numerous times without one word back from the administration. In my letter of response, I pointed out that I have a no-risk strategy that's actually a strategic intelligent enhancement, totally transparent, highly ethical and moral, that will allow companies the opportunity at will to expand and diversify to an unlimited degree in any field and create jobs and opportunities at the same time. It will force companies to be more responsible for their employees, customers, the environment, and the community. Otherwise, they're not going to be around long once these strategies get out into the global marketplace, and they will. I have a big
question. Yes, sir. Do you happen to have a question for Mr. Finn Larson with Christian Educators Association or Pastor Lear? Would you like to ask him something before we get back and
I'm working on a big mission and vision of bringing spirituality into global economics and combining it with unconditional love. I'm wondering if they have considered or aware of something along those lines.
Okay, I'll let Pastor Lear, if you don't mind, just listen and let's see what he's got to say to that. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Pastor Lear, would you like to comment to what he said?
Yes, I believe that I would quote Scripture in saying that the Lord owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And so the issue of bringing spirituality, whenever anyone says that, not all spirituality is of the Lord. So I'd have to wanted to know what spirituality we're talking about. Not all spirits, and we're told to discern the spirits and to test the spirits. I mean, as far as in world matters, the only hope for this world is Christ. I'll go to my grave with that on my lips. I believe that that is our only hope, not to have one world religion or mix all the religions together or something like that. And I don't even consider Christianity in the sense of a religion. I consider Christianity to be a relationship with God, our Creator, through the only way that we can have that relationship, through Jesus Christ, His Son. So when we send out missionaries, we're not sending them out not knowing who they're trying to lead people to. We're trying to lead them to Christ. And I believe that that is the answer to all the world problems, although that seems simplistic. It's always been, He is always the answer, always has been.
I like that answer. And we have interviewed Tea Party Italia, and they really have opened our eyes to the fact that Europe, socialist, well, especially Italy, they are being taxed at a rate of 70%. Of course, the government is doing a lot of good things with that money, you know, like health care and things like that. So I'm sounding facetious. But anyway,
right.
It's really, there's a lot of things, unfortunately, that the government is doing for our good. And one of them that they think they're doing for our good is they're taking away our constitutional right, really, to parent our children. And that is very concerning to both you and I know Mr. Finlarson, especially with the teachers and what you're hearing from the hearts of the teachers, Mr. Larson. And we're almost here at the end of the show, but I'm so glad that this is something we need to be giving to the Lord, because it's not just in Alabama that I think that parents' hearts are really getting fired up because of this issue. And I'm praying all the tea parties throughout the nation that they would take that rally cry, because, Mr. Larson, I'm hearing it in you that really this is such a great concern to the masses of teachers out there, probably not just Ohio, that it should become a rally cry and can really, I think, affect a change in 2012.
Absolutely, and I would really encourage all of your listeners to do that if they are not teachers themselves, but they know teachers in their school district that are believers, seek them out and encourage them. I can tell you,
yeah,
they many of them are so discouraged because they don't hear support from their churches, from their fellow believers, and it's very tough when you're in there fighting a battle and you feel alone. And the truth is, they're not alone. They obviously have the Lord. They have the Holy Spirit, but they need to be surrounded by the rest of the body of Christ, so that they have prayer support, they have encouragement support, and I would just really encourage your listeners, seek out teachers in your school and just ask them, what can we do for you? I know when I was in the education field, just an email offering prayer made my day and gave me the courage to move and listen to the Lord and respond to Him rather than the pressures of the culture. And so we need each other. And I would just encourage that this isn't just a teacher problem. This isn't just a student problem. This isn't just a culture problem. It is a national issue that we need to return to the truth of Scripture. We need to return and act like followers of Jesus.
Well, Pastor Lear, with New Hampshire being in the limelight, I'm just wondering, Perry seems to stack up, not Perry, Romney, still stacks up pretty highly, but I'm thinking, with what we've seen of the socialized health care and what we're going to be seeing with socialized education, nationalization of our education system, what are you hearing from other New Hampshire people about Romney?
Well, there are people who believe that he would be a good candidate. I am not one of them. We look across the border to Massachusetts and what he did there and so forth. I don't believe right now that we have actually seen the kind of bravura in any candidate that's going to say, first of all, I am not running for the office of emperor of the world. I'm not running for the office of emperor or czar of America. I am running for the office of President of the United States. We have a constitution. That constitution specifies what I can and cannot do. And, you know, I kind of like the Barry Goldwater doctrine of years ago when he first went to the Senate and people said, Senator Goldwater, what are you going to do? He said, are you going to make new laws for us? And he said, no, I'm going to Washington to get rid of all the unconstitutional ones. And so here in New Hampshire, what we have is a real grassroots movement to return to, first of all, in many people's thinking, the sovereignty of the Lord, and also a return to the constitutional mandates, the enumerated powers, which some people call states' rights. That's not really correct. They're enumerated powers, that what the state can stand for. And we've got quite a lot of things happening, just very good things here, and I'm really excited about it. And what Mr. Larson said about encouraging the teachers, I give 100% kudos to that and agree with that. And also the same way with our legislators. I had to go up a couple of weeks ago in a hearing, and I gathered a group of 20 of them together, and I said, what are you, chicken hearts? You're starting to back down. We've got votes here. We've got the strength. Stand up. Talk about the Lord. Talk about the Bible. Open the Bible and read Scripture like I do when I go to the hearings. You know, it's not being a preacher. You're stating your case, what you believe. And so I've had to encourage them that way, because this is a spiritual battle. And so we need to hear from somebody who wants to be the president of these United States right now that they're going to stand their ground and not promise people a lot of stuff, like what you said about the Tea Party Italia or whatever. The issue is we have a constitution. It's in effect. Our rights were not given to us by our constitution. Our rights come from Almighty God. That's what our declaration says. These are inalienable rights. And I just want to mention about a word that I've been giving a lot of people around the state who have been a little reticent to take their time to speak out. It's from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He said, silence in the face of evil is itself evil. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. The Lord says, yes, have faith in me, but mix with your faith works. That's our encouragement here. That's what we're saying in New Hampshire, and we're believing that actually we're going to be kind of a spark plug in the bigger engine of the United States of America.
Amen to that.
We have less people. We have less people in the state of New Hampshire than you got in Birmingham, Alabama.
Oh yes, but what a change you're making! And I just think, you know, with Barney Frank stepping down, wow. That ought to be
telling us something. Thank you, Jesus.
Exciting.
Yeah, I think it is.
Exciting news. Somebody's been reading their, the facts out there, and thank God for that. So with that in mind, we've run out of time just about, but I'm going to give Mr. Larson, I'm going to give you some closing words, and then I'm going to ask Pastor Lear, if he doesn't mind, to close us, sir, in prayer. Go ahead, Mr. Larson, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. I would just add, before we close in prayer, that I would just call all the listeners today to turn up the thermostat of personal prayer. It can certainly be frustrating when we see some of the darkness that's surrounding our schools, our communities, our government, but it is in that darkness when people fall on their knees and call on the Lord that true transformation can happen. You know, we see it in third world nations all the time. When they get to a point of feeling there's nothing that I can do personally without the power of God, that power falls. And I would just encourage all of your listeners to get on their knees on a regular basis. If you're on a regular basis, then get on them more. If it's something you felt you haven't had time for, make time for it, to be in the presence of the living God, the creator of mankind, the Father who sent his Son to bring us salvation and who sent the Holy Spirit to empower us. We can't afford not to invest time and energy in prayer.
Indeed. And Pastor,
well, Heavenly Father,
we
do thank you, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity that we have this moment to speak out over the airwaves and over the internet. I thank you, Lord, that we're always reminded, as you reminded the great prophet Elijah, he's not the only one that hasn't bowed his knee. And I'm so blessed to meet Finn Larson today and know he hasn't bowed his knee, and he's inspiring others not to bow their knee as well. For Miss Diana, and also, Lord, we thank you at this time of year that we'll have the joy of being able to walk around into the post office, into the stores, into the toll gate, or wherever else, and say, Merry Christmas, and give you the glory. And we thank you, Lord, for each person that would say, I'm going to take this upon myself and trust the Lord to be like a Gideon, that though I may not have all the weapons, I'll be like a little David. And I'll stand against the forces out against me, knowing that I'm going to praise you in public. I'm going to praise you in private. I'm going to hear from you. And I thank you, Lord, that we will be able to say, someone has stolen our country, and we want her back now, and to really be doing something about it. And we thank you, Lord, we could not be successful at anything except that you would give us the victory. And we thank you and we praise you and love to say your name, Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Lear. And if you don't mind, Pastor Lear, would you be so kind as to mention your website so the listeners can visit it? And then I'll let Mr. Finn Larson also, if you don't mind, Mr. Larson, mention your website.
Yes, actually, for today's purposes, we'll give you one of our websites, which link to two of our others, but thepatriotpastor.org. thepatriotpastor.org, and you can go there and listen to speeches at different places and sermons at different places and whatever, thepatriotpastor.org.
And the website for Christian Educators Association International, that just filled with free downloadable resources and links to phenomenal resources, is ceai.org. That's ceai.org. We welcome you there, and all that we have is yours.
Wow. Well, we thank you both, and I have been so blessed today. My goodness, what an awesome, great information and encouragement from both of you. So we pray that the listeners will share it with their friends and family throughout. Go to www.cityonthehill.tv, and please look at our podcast. We have got years of wonderful podcasts, and one of them, Pastor Lear, we just played this past Thanksgiving, were you talking about the Thanksgiving proclamations and even sharing that with my little Jane. So I thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Finn Larson. God bless you both. God bless you, listeners, and may God shine his face upon you. And we will have these gentlemen on again, so please be sure to tune in to City on a Hill. Thank you, and goodbye.